Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 173 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of October 27th, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is sentient gingerbread cookie Dan Ryan.
It's one of my favorite ones that you've written so far. I really like
that
one.
Thank you. That's the last Friday in October, and that means it's time for the 10-20-30. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, how many socks you like to wear at the same time, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Dan, how many socks do you like to wear at the same time?
Two. There's no other fucking answer. Nobody else has... You have 2 feet, Chris. That's it.
I don't know what else you do with socks. I don't know if you walk out with socks on your hands. Do you double up your socks? Are your feet too cold, so you put on, like, 3 pairs of socks? Then your shoes feel off funny.
Like a chorus line? Jesus, Chris. That is a Northeast joke if there ever was one. Fucking Broadway musical joke.
I don't know your life.
I mean, I'm just... Somebody out there chuckled, because now they're singing the song, I stuff my shoes with extra socks, but with shoes full socks. Anyway, show tunes brought to you here on the Stone Age Gamer. See, there's a lot of shit you don't know about me, Chris. We've been friends for 72 and a half years, and there's still some shit that you don't know.
We've been friends for at least 173 episodes.
Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know. 2 socks. That is the correct amount of socks.
It is the correct amount of socks. Hey, I have something fun to say.
Okay.
Sean Doyle, he's a good friend of mine, and he started listening to this podcast.
It's about goddamn time, Sean Doyle.
He started, like, last week, and he started at episode 1. So in, like, 6 months when he gets to this episode, how you doing, Sean?
Hey, Sean.
How you doing?
Haven't seen you in a while, buddy. Hope things are well. So,
anyway.
the Kinect is officially dead.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
As of today.
Wow.
Yeah.
I missed that. I haven't really been keeping up on much news. Like, I was all excited. I'm all excited about Mario Odyssey this Friday, which I didn't realize was this Friday. Like, I knew there was a date for the game, and I just kind of stopped paying attention because it was too far out. And then they announced that VVVVVV is coming to Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll buy that again. I haven't played that game in a little while, and I love that game, so I'm all for that.
I don't know. I think, to be fair, you're probably like one of the few that's actually excited about Mario Odyssey. So,
right. Yeah, I think most people are just like, meh,
eh, whatever.
Doesn't look that good.
I mean, the Kinect is dead. So, yeah.
So what do they mean by the Kinect is dead? Just like they're not.
They will no longer be making any more. So okay. Whatever,
they're not sending Microsoft reps to everyone's houses to come confiscate their Kinects and
they
step
should.
On them.
They probably should, but no.
Your Xbox 360 HD DVD drives while they're at it.
Well, yeah. Once your current stock is out, you are shit out of luck on picking up a Kinect. So you will no longer be able to play such gems as Kinectimals and whatever that whitewater rafting bullshit was. And,
Kinect Adventures.
Was it? See, look at you. You have that, don't you? You son of a bitch.
It came with my Kinect. It's
why do
still
you have
in the wrapper.
Kinect? Jesus Christ, Chris.
I have a Kinect because Karen really wanted that dancing game, Dance Central. And then we got it, and it was really funny because our living room wasn't super big, so the Kinect didn't work super well. I also got a Kinect for my niece, and she played Kinectimals, like, pretty solidly for a while. As a Nintendogs ripoff, it was very good.
Really?
Yeah. But, right. I mean, obviously, once you're done petting the tigers, you're like, all right, it's time to play something else.
This is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'm glad. I'm really glad to hear that's dead.
Yeah, me too. I am saddened by the fact that they also announced that there will be no Season 3 of LEGO Dimensions.
Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised by, because, like, Legos are fucking expensive, right? Like, just full stop, Legos are way, way expensive. Like, You think, I'm going to go get some Legos. And then you go into the store, and $600 later, you can build a tree. And you're like, what the fuck is that? That is, I had no idea. So for them to consistently produce very niche kind of sets like they've been doing, it's not a great business model.
And like, I can't, where were they going to go with season three? Like, what properties have they not done yet that are interesting?
I wanted He-Man, but I think, like, I know I'm not the only one who wanted He-Man, but I really wanted, like, He-Man or He-Man was a thing. I mean, they could have gotten to the point where they included Star Wars in it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would have kept it alive for a little bit. And we did do a whole episode on this, Chris.
We did. I don't know where they went from there. I kind of stopped paying attention to it. Karen and I got the game, and we were all excited to play it, and we just kind of got bored by it and never went back to it again. Yeah. It did not tickle my fancy. It did not get my jeans steaming.
I think it's great. I really, really like it. I am excited to... I haven't purchased any of the recent sets, and now I might wait to see if they drop to a lower price.
They're going to clearance the crap out of that stuff.
To get, like, the Goonies set and Beetlejuice and the Powerpuff Girls stuff.
To keep your eyes on Toys R Us, because as soon as that... Toys R Us and Target, because it's now that it's dead, they're not
gonna, just don't care.
They don't want that shelf space. They're going to... Somebody else wants that shelf space, so they're gonna be like, "All right, cool, let's get this stuff out of here." So that'll be a neat way to pick up those things.
Yeah, and the little I want a little minifig. I almost said minifigure, which would get me banned from all of the fucking Lego message boards that I don't go on. But I want a little minifig fucking Beetlejuice. I feel like I need that in my life.
Do you not have a pop of Beetlejuice?
No, I don't like the Beetlejuice pop. It's weird. There's a couple of, like, Funko Pops, for the most part, are pretty great. This is a fucking long intro to the 10, 20, 30, by the way. Some of the Funko Pops are really great, but, like, the Joker one, I never thought looked good. Beetlejuice, I don't care for. There's just something weird with the mouth when they put that on there. It just doesn't work. Yeah. Anyway, I'm doing.
Good times, yeah. the only other thing that I've been doing that I didn't mention was I've been spending some time with the Game Boy Color quote-unquote classic Montezuma's Return.
Why?
I just wrote about this on the Stone Age Gamer blog. I love that game. It's actually really cool. It's just obscure as hell, because who the hell bought Montezuma's Return for Game Boy Color? Like me and three other guys. It's a really fun game. It's really similar to Spelunker. Which I also love. So, but I've had this music in my head for a long time, and I love the music in the game. And as you know, I listen to music, video game music, near constantly. But
do you?
I
had no idea.
I've never been able to find the music for this game anywhere online, and I think it's because nobody has bothered to rip it. Like, it just, I don't think anybody out there has even tried. So I don't know how to rip game audio out of a game. I tried to do some research into it, and it all seems way more complicated than I have the skills for. So I went through this whole thing where I'm playing through the game to try to get to the different areas in the game that have different music, and then just running a line out from my Raspberry Pi into my microphone input on my computer, and just recording the audio straight from there, which is going well. Because I didn't want to do that at first, because, you know, I would just get sound effects in the game. But I realized, of all the lucky things in the universe, for some reason, this game has an option on the title screen to just turn off all the sound effects. What an uncommon thing to have in a game, and it just so happens to be a game that I'm trying to record the music for. So that's been working out pretty well. I have 4 tracks recorded so far, because I'm not great at the game, but I put in the Infinite Lives code.
Sure.
You've never played this game, have you?
No.
So every time you lose a life in this game, it's just this really funny throwaway joke. You're you're running around this little explorer dude who kind of looks like the dude from Spelunker. Mm-hmm. But when you die, like it goes to a cave and like a fireman's pole that you slide down.
Okay.
And there's just a lineup of dudes, like how many literal dudes you have left. They're just waiting up there. So if you have four guys left, there's just like four of the same guy standing in a line, and then one of them jumps down the flagpole and you pick up where you left off.
That's kind of cool.
It cracks me up every time. Like, that's really funny. So I have infinite lives. So what's really neat about the game is that when you say you kamikaze something, like there's a skull rolling around and you walk into it and it kills you, but you also kill it at the same time.
Okay.
That stuff stays permanently dead. So with the infinite lives code, I just walk into every enemy and clear the game.
That seems like a really fun way to play. I'm just going to suicide my way through the game.
It's surprisingly entertaining to do it that way, because then I can just focus on how do I get from point A to point B without dying? Because it's like Spelunker.
I don't.
Like if you fall too far, you die. And
right.
You can only jump like very specific directions and whatnot. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's a fun game. Montezuma's Return for Game Boy Color. It is an update of, I think, Montezuma's Revenge for like ColecoVision and a bunch of other old game systems. If you've ever played that old gem, which
Who
I've
hasn't?
Never played. I really should, because I've only played this one. And apparently it also had very well animated rotating skulls in it. So yay, Montezuma.
All right, then.
All right. It's time for the 10-20-30. Once a month, Dan and I will look at games that came out 10, 20, and 30 years ago on this month. However, last month...
on this month.
On this month.
In this month.
In this month. During this month.
There you go.
Last month, we screwed up, and by we, I mean I.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down all the stuff that came out last October when we did September's. Not last October, 1987 October. So we're going to do September 1987 this month. Just to kind of even things out. And I really should have, it should have jumped out at me, because I know Mike Tyson's Punch Out came out in October. I don't know what's wrong with me. Besides, I was probably just tired.
It really should have jumped out at me, but I don't do research. So.
All right. So we've got a lot of games to talk about. So we're going to try to do this as a little bit quicker than usual. Otherwise, we will be here until tomorrow. So
it's a good thing
first
we didn't take
up,
15 minutes before we got to this, then.
At least 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go start off with 2007. So these are the big games that came out 10 years ago. So on the Nintendo DS, we have The Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass. This was the first DS Zelda game. It was billed as a direct sequel to The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, my favorite game of all time. It was very bold in that it was touting button-free controls, as in it was all controlled with the stylus, which I thought was a terrible idea at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came out, and...
And you were correct.
Actually, I was wrong for different reasons. The game itself, I thought, was crap, and the controls, I thought, were very cool. So whereas beforehand, I was like, man, I really want to play this game, but I don't want to play it with these stylus controls. That sounds terrible. Turns out the stylus controls work really surprisingly well, and the game itself I did not care for. I have tried to get through this game several times, and each time I get to the same point where I just don't care. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not having fun. Have you ever played this game?
Yeah, we talked about it on the Zelda retrospective.
We did. That was a while ago.
It was. Meh. it's just not a thing I was into at all. Like, at gimmicky controls, I am not a fan of at the best of times. And when it was like, oh, the whole thing is fucking, you just control it with, you know, you don't have to use the controller at all, and you could just do it on the stylus. Nah, I'm out. Thanks. No, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I was sure that was going to piss me off, and it actually wound up working pretty well for me. I was totally okay with it. It was ultimately pointless, I think, other than to try to get it to be playable for a broader audience. Because
yeah.
Like it's not like I was doing things better because I was using touch controls. It was just a different way of controlling it. It just didn't seem all that sensical to me. But that was, you know, Nintendo was going through a very experimental phase at that point in their lives. There is a piece of mail connected to this, actually. Jamie Hill, who was a fan of the show, he wrote in. He says, Chris, you got to finish Phantom Hourglass, man. Great wave back episode, and I really appreciate you keeping it spoiler free. But you mentioned again that you have not finished Phantom Hourglass. I'm just here to say it's a great little game. That central dungeon basically becomes a speedrun if you think about it. The game was really charming, and I approached it as a totally separate thing from Wind Waker, and I tried not to hold the fact that it was a sequel against it. Just my two cents. Jamie, I am going to try this game again someday. It's not going to be soon, but it is going to be someday. You know what? I kept trying. It took me years and years to get through Majora's Mask. And when I finally did, I was happy about it. But it took me a while to get to the point where I got that game. So I think it's going to take me a while before I'm able to get this game, too. I did play the first, like, 20 minutes or so of Spirit Tracks, and I already liked that game way better than Phantom Hourglass. Mm. There are a few things about Phantom Hourglass that just don't, they rub me the wrong way, but I'll get to it someday.
I won't.
Today is not that day. Now here's a game that I'm pretty sure you didn't play.
No.
That I'm also pretty sure most people didn't play, because here in America, it was a Walmart exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Chibi Robo Park Patrol for the Nintendo DS. I love this game.
I am sure that you do. You are the only person
Chibi
I know
Robo.
Who loves Chibi Robo that much.
Chibi Robo is awesome, man. The original GameCube Chibi Robo is a totally weird and totally awesome game. It's fun to play. It's very charming. It's super cool. Park Patrol, it's very similar, except instead of being in a house, you're going out and trying to like make flowers grow and stuff, and you're basically trying to clean up a park. And it does all these like really adorable touchscreen segments where you have to make Chibi Robo dance to make flowers bloom and stuff. Like, it is a delightful little game. It's also cheap as hell because nobody wants it.
Because nobody is interested.
And it's such a shame this was a friggin' Walmart exclusive. Like, retailer exclusive games, that's never a good idea.
No.
Retailer exclusive content in games is already bad enough, but when you're selling entire games that are only available at one retailer, that's just not cool, man. It's not cool.
It just doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, obviously they didn't have a ton of faith in the game.
No, because it's a hard game to market even in Japan, and then outside Japan, like, the GameCube Chibi Robo didn't exactly set the world on fire, and they tried several times with this franchise, and it just never clicked with people. Even the side-scrolling platformer, which had a lot of really good ideas in it, I really enjoyed Ziplash, but it did have some.
Was
some
that the was that the flaws. Amiibo one?
Yes, that was the one that came with the Amiibo.
Okay, yeah. Because like, if that's not even good enough to get it sold,
yeah,
you know,
that game's still sitting on shelves, like. People are looking at that cute little amiibo being like, meh.
Yeah, I don't give a
shit. And that makes me sad, because Chibi Robo games deserve more attention and love than they have. But you know what? I can't say that Nintendo hasn't given it a try, because there's, what, five of these games now? There's the original one, Park Patrol, the Photo Finder one, another 3DS one that I don't even think came out in America, and then Ziplash. So there's been five Chibi Robo games. Nintendo gave it a fair shake.
There's been two more Chibi Robo games than there have been fucking Kid Icarus games or Punch Out games. Like, they tried.
Nah,
stop trying.
Been two arcade Punch Outs.
I'm
NES
talking
Punch
consoles.
Out, Super Punch Out, and then Punch Out Wii. Yeah, there have only been three console ones, true.
Yeah, that's what I'm. There's been four more Chibi Robos than there have been pro wrestling. So let's not fucking.
Yeah, that's
enough.
Not cool, man. Enough.
But
Chibi Robo Park Patrol, super cool game, 10 years old. Check it out if you want something really weird and super cheap.
There you go.
The next one on the list is is the shoveliest of shovelware. The Wii was known for a lot of things. It was known for having, you know, forced motion controls, being white and low resolution graphics. There was also a lot of shovelware just dumped all over this system.
A lot of just the hottest of garbage.
The hottest of garbage. One of these particular games was indeed super hot garbage, but it was also such a fantastic idea. It makes me sad that it was hot garbage.
Yes.
We are talking about Ninja Bread Man.
Oh, Ninja Bread Man.
This is a game about a ninja gingerbread man. And I love the concept. I love the character art on the cover.
I love the name.
Yeah, the name is wonderful.
It's an adorable name. It's an adorable concept. They just forgot to make a good game.
They did.
Oops.
Yeah.
Our bad.
It's a flaming pile of garbage. Mm-hmm. The critical reception of it was just amazingly low. I believe IGN gave it a 1.5 out of 10, saying, quote, "Is Ninja Bread Man actually a good game? No chance. It's buggy, often completely broken, somehow manages to have frame issues in tiny levels, and is completely ruthless if and when younger players die." It's a bad game. It's funny. This was supposed to be a reimagining of... I'm looking at this on the Wikipedia page, because I knew this game was actually something else to start with. It was supposed to be a...
it's a reimagining of Tenchu, right?
Yes. Bushido Blade, actually. Zool, Ninja of the Nth Dimension.
Oh, no shit. Really?
Is that the same game that came out on Atari Jaguar? Yeah, was... there were games of the Zool series on Jaguar. So this was supposed to be that, and Zoo Digital was... They hired the people who did this game to do that, and then they saw it and were like, nah,
we're not doing that.
Yeah, no, this is not good, so screw you. And then they were like, all right, fine, we'll just finish it off on our own. And they came up with a better character than Zool. Like, Ninja Bread Man, he is a way better character design than Zool.
It's so good.
He's awesome.
It's so good.
I don't think I have this game, and I always wanted it. I don't think I ever bothered to buy it. Do I have Ninja Bread Man? Where are you?
You should.
New Super Mario Brothers, Knights, No More Heroes. No, I do not have Ninja Bread Man. I got to track this game down. Apparently, we're supposed to get a sequel, too. But obviously, there was no talent involved in this game. So.
Ninja
Bread 2 Blades of Fury was announced.
I want a super serious, like, gritty Ninja Bread Man.
Like, yeah, I want like lots of gore, but all the gore to be like cake icing and stuff.
Yeah,
but, extremely graphic, but not graphic at all.
Yeah,
this is a property that somebody with talent needs to wrap their hands around and make something amazing out of.
Yep, way forward.
Way forward. Did you hear about The Mummy Demastered?
I did. That movie was so bad.
I didn't even realize it was connected to the movie. Yeah. Like, I was looking at the trailer for the game. I was actually looking at the Go Nintendo review for the game and thinking, holy crap, this looks awesome. This is connected to that movie? Why is it coming out now?
Yeah.
No, the game looks great.
I know. It's like, I don't want it to look great.
Hey, I'm good with it. Way Forward made it. So based on whatever you want, make a good game out of a crappy movie. I am all about that. Especially since it's The Mummy Demastered.
Right.
Way Forward's awesome. Ninja Bread Man, however, is not. All right, moving on. Final Fantasy Tactics, War of the Lions for PSP. I have no thoughts on Final Fantasy Tactics.
I didn't play it. I love the Tactics games. I assume this one was good.
I also assume this one was good.
The Final Fantasy Tactics was awesome. Tactics Advance was great. My assumption is that this was excellent as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't make bad Final Fantasy Tactics games. So really, if that don't. Is your cup of tea, then drink it. we really got to get blowing through these things, man. We There's really too do. Many of them. We spend way too much time talking about Chibi Robo Ninja Bread Man. I'm sorry. Orange Box came out for Xbox 360.
Half-Life. Yay. Portal. Yay.
This game's amazing. This was the best deal in video games for the amount of amazing content. Team Fortress 2 was on here. The amount of amazing content on this one disc was through the roof. The only thing that competes with it as far as value on a single disc was the Metroid Prime trilogy. It's just absolute insanity. Orange Box is amazing.
It really is. I mean, you get, what was it, Half-Life, Half-Life 2?
You didn't get Half-Life 2. You got Half-Life 2 and then the one or two expansions on it.
Yeah,
Team
the
Fortress
expansions.
2 and Portal.
Yeah. This was like, you bought this because you didn't have a PC and were fucking sick of hearing about it from the Master Race. And then you were like, oh shit, maybe I should get a PC. Because this is fucking good stuff. Especially, I love Team Fortress. I'm terrible at it, but it's so fun.
It was Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Portal, and Team Fortress 2. That's what was on there.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
That is a damn good deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Next up, we had Toby Hank's Proving Ground.
Tony Hank?
Toby Hank. That was my favorite mispronunciation. Probably one of my favorite mispronunciations I ever heard a customer ask me for was Toby Hank's. Toby Hank's post grading, and it's sure. Yeah, we got Toby Hank.
we got so many copies of Toby Hank, you don't even fucking know.
Got Toby Hank for days. What the hell was Proving Ground? I don't even remember this one.
God, I was hoping you did, so I didn't have to look it up. Proving Ground was this when they went back to like?
I remember this cover. It's all like gray, and it's got Mr. Hank, Tom Hanks, walking with a skateboard in hand.
Adolf Hankler. Watch Last Week Tonight. It's so fun.
It did not, but
I'm pretty sure I played this one. I think this one was like really story heavy.
God, it was the ninth game in the series.
Yeah,
holy hell!
It was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Like the series was so dead at this point. It was so dead at this point.
Like, yeah, they were really beating that corpse every year. They're like, no, this year is going to be the year. It's going to take off again.
Yeah, and the graphics were still terrible.
Yeah, that's enough of that. That's enough of that.
Still terrible.
Yeah. Beautiful Katamari came out on Xbox 360.
This 10 was years ago. A compilation of the other Katamaris?
I thought it was an original one.
I didn't play this one.
It was Katamari on Xbox 360, and I believe this one had a whole lot of there was a decent chunk of controversy about this because this was one of the earliest examples of a game being sold with DLC that's already on the disc that you have to pay to open. Yes,
that's some old bullshit.
I did not love it. I mean, I didn't hate it. It was more Katamari, but. For me, there has never been a sequel to Katamari that's captured the same soul of the original one.
No, it really, really hasn't.
The original game is lightning in a bottle, and you add stuff to it, and it's like it's not like it was. It's bad. It just doesn't have that same. It doesn't have that same magic, you know. It was like making sequels to The Matrix. How do you follow that up?
Yeah. Right. Well, and it's just like you've done this idea. We're done now. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't a game that gets sequelized. Like it's done.
You know? Like if you're gonna make another one of these, like you got to wait a long time, and even then, you don't want to try to reinvent the wheel. Not that they tried to reinvent the wheel, but you have to wait until it's special again. You know, like I feel like the same thing happened to this as happened to Beautiful Joe. Like they just like, here's this totally amazing thing. So let's sequel the hell out of it and. By the time Red Hot Rumble came out, like who cared about Beautiful Joe anymore? It wasn't special anymore.
Such
so,
a shame because I still care.
I still care. I would love for the see like now is the time for a new Beautiful Joe. Now is the time for a new Katamari and something that is done with real love and care. This one did not strike me as that. It was also weird that this was on Xbox 360.
Yeah, it's not bro-y enough.
Yeah.
Was there a Master not Chief skin? Enough. I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was a Master Chief skin for the Prince.
Speaking of not bro-y at all, Whack and Sticky came out for Wii. I'm kidding. Zack and Wiki. Whack and Sticky was a Yahtzee joke from back when I used to watch Zero Punctuation.
That's funny.
That guy was funny. Zack and Wiki, this was a cool game. A point-and-click adventure for the Wii, which was perfect for point-and-click adventures because it came with an actual pointer. I can't believe they didn't make more point-and-click adventures for the Wii. Like,
yeah, that's a good
point. I was playing through Zack and Wiki, like, I want to play Monkey Island with this. This is the most perfect controller for this, because I'm literally pointing and clicking.
Why don't I have the best version of Myst ever?
Seriously, what the hell, guys? Now, Zack and Wiki was super clever. It used the motion controls in very clever ways to solve puzzles. It had some, you know, some cute character designs. It just never took off. It was very well regarded by the people who played it, but it's not a mass market kind of game. I have a fun story about this one. This was towards the beginning of the Wii's life cycle. Not too late after it had been out. And these ladies came into my Game Crazy, and they were like, "All right, we're done with Wii Sports. What else should we get?" And I was like, "You should get Zack and Wiki. It's really clever. It's very puzzle based. Now it looks like a cartoon, and it sounds like a cartoon, but it's all about solving these puzzles." And so I sold them on the game, and they came back the next day like, "This is kid stuff. There's cartoon characters saying weird things. I don't want this." And I was like, "Way to not have an imagination."
Mm-hmm.
Horrible people.
Fucking terrible, terrible old ladies.
Then she got hit by a car in the parking lot. True story.
That's awesome. She deserved it.
She did.
It was probably a Capcom employee. Fucking
probably.
You don't like her
game? Capcom liked this game enough to put it on the Wii U virtual console. Like, this was one of the Wii games you could download on the Wii U, which surprised the hell out of me. But I was very impressed that they decided to try and give this game a second life, even through a digital download service. Granted, they did it on the Wii U, which wasn't really much of a second life for anything outside of, you know, a couple of first party Nintendo games, but still,
I mean, they tried it. It's a cool looking character. Like, it's a game that probably should have done a lot better, but just everybody hated the Wii at that point.
Well, as I said, nobody hated the Wii at that point. It was just, this was a point where bro-y stuff, like you mentioned before, was way more popular, and it was hard to sell.
Everybody hated the Wii at that point. Like, everybody who was going to buy games like this, no interest in the Wii.
Except for the people who were Nintendo fanatics like me, and they still didn't buy it, which that's the part that I don't get. Because this game should have spoke loud and clear to the Nintendo fan base. Like, everybody who's like me should have bought this game. I bought this game because I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really interesting. But for some reason, it just didn't go anywhere. And that's the part I don't get. Like, the fact that a large chunk of the gaming population was just like, this isn't... They were just... I guess Call of Duty was exploding at this point. And it was like, I get that. Those people aren't going to buy Zack and Wiki. But there's people out there who bought the Wii because they were excited to play these new kinds of games with motion controls, and they avoided this game. And I think that's insanity, because nobody should have avoided this game. It was fun.
All right.
All right. Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations came out for the Nintendo DS. This is another Ace Attorney game.
One of these days, I'm going to play one of them. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I played through all the first one, and it was phenomenal. Speaking of point-and-click adventures, man, the Ace Attorney games are good. I really, really want them to port them to Switch, because I've been meaning to replay them, but I don't want to dig out my DS cartridges for them. And I know that they did them all digitally, I think, on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Paul played through them there, and he loved them. I would really love them to put an Ace Attorney compilation together on Switch, because I would play the crap out of that. Because really, I kept buying them. Like, every time they came out, I just kept buying them. Like, I'm going to play these. I'm going to do it. Because I loved the first game. I loved it so much. And I just never got around to playing any of the sequels. And I have almost all of them. So maybe one day.
I would. It seems like something that would be right up my alley.
It really is. They are directly up your alley. I
feel like I would be very into it. I just never got to it. Like, I played the Professor Layton games instead, you know, and I know it's a completely different thing. I understand that.
Yeah, but I mean, there's definitely a connect there. I mean, hell, they had that crossover title.
Yeah, but like those of the weird DS games, I was playing the Professor Layton ones.
Hmm. I did the first Ace Attorney. I did the first Trauma Center. Oh, man, Trauma Center. Oh,
Trauma Center was good, too. It was fucking terrible.
Trauma Team on Wii is a freaking masterpiece, and that game didn't sell at all. Mostly because it's called Trauma Team, and the cover was just a giant hospital symbol. Like, who are you selling this to that doesn't... That's not how you market a game. Anyway, Moving on to the PSP, back when that was still a thing. The Castlevania, the Dracula X Chronicles, came out on PSP.
I have this one.
I definitely have this one.
This is the one that you could unlock Symphony of the Night?
You could unlock Symphony of the Night and the original version of Dracula X.
Yes.
But you had to play through the polygonal remake of Dracula X first, which I did not care for.
I like this one, though.
A lot of people do, and I don't disparage that. It's like the people who really like Maverick Hunter X on PSP.
Yeah.
I feel when they took it, it's very similar, but they're remaking a great game that had amazing sprite work to begin with, and when they moved it to this relatively soulless polygonal design, I feel like it lost a lot of its character, and I just wasn't nuts about it. If you could have just swapped to the original version from the get-go, I probably would have liked it more, but you got to play through this version of it before you can unlock Symphony of the Night in the original one. And by the time I got around to wanting to do that, the Vita had come out, and then I just got Symphony of the Night for Vita, and I'm like, all right, cool. Now I'm playing portable Symphony of the Night.
Now I don't have to do this.
Now I do not have to do this ever.
Yeah, I liked this one quite a bit, actually. I enjoyed this one.
It's a solid product. It's no question about it. Dracula X is a great game. Rondo of Blood, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's a great game no matter how you slice it. Still, I think the best way to do it is getting the... There's a version of it for download on the Wii Virtual Console, which is pixel perfect, and it plays wonderfully on your TV, and you can use a classic controller on it. It's probably the best way to play it right now before that service goes under. I can't recommend that enough. It's great. I would love to see, again, this is another thing I'd really love to see come to Switch, either this or even just ports of the original versions of this and Symphony. I mean...
Yeah,
I wish somebody would clean up the Saturn version of Symphony of the Night. I wish somebody would mash together like the extra content of the Saturn game and the visuals of the PlayStation game, remove all the slowdown, and put it on a modern system. But nobody's doing that.
No.
And it's pissing me off. They should. Because you can't just port the Saturn version because like the extra content's great, but like it's got a lot of technical problems. And the PlayStation version is damn near flawless, but it's missing that super cool extra content the Saturn version got. So... ugh, whatever.
Whatever.
Make my dreams come true, damn it. Somebody do it.
I'm on it.
Next on the list, this is another game that I'm sad that I've never actually played. Mega Man ZX Advent for Nintendo DS.
Yeah, I was so sick of Mega Man bullshit by this point that I just didn't even, like, these games didn't even register. Like, I was so tired of all the other weird stuff that they were doing. And it probably should have.
Just make Mega Man. Just make Mega Man again. And like, I get it. They kept coming up with these new series of Mega Man games, and this wasn't related to the Star Force stuff or the Battle Network stuff. This was the sequel to the sequel. This was the sequel series to the sequel series of the X series.
Right.
So Mega Man X series is a sequel to the series of Mega Man. Mega Man Zero is the sequel to Mega Man X. The series is sequel to that series, and then ZX is the sequel series to Zero. So Mega Man takes place in the future.
Right.
X takes place in that future. So this takes place in the future of the future of the future of the future.
And I really like the Mega Man Zero games.
they're good.
There's like three or four of them.
The ZX games are good too. I can't say I've never played them. I put them in the DS at my store and played around with them for like 15 minutes, and it's like, all right, this is cool, I should pick this up. And I probably did, and it sat in a drawer for eons.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. You know, I like the character design in it. Like they redesigned the, I guess it's ZX, is that his name? I
think at this point you played as like people that were able to add things to themselves to give them the attributes of Zero and X. Oh. I think that's the way this worked.
Furries. Got it.
Furries. Yeah, there you go. Furries. Got it. Moving on. Past Mega Man ZX Advent. 10 years ago, 10 years ago, we got the Eye of Judgment for PlayStation 3, talking about camera things that went away.
Oh, yeah. Man. The Eye toy. Is that what it was? Was it the eye toy?
Yeah, this was the eye toy. And I thought this looked dumb from the get-go.
It was like if it was actually Yu-Gi-Oh,
I think it would have done really well. But they didn't license Yu-Gi-Oh. They made their own Yu-Gi-Oh knockoff that you would put, you know, cards and it would do AR shit on your TV. And
it's a cool idea. That's
sure. Like, it's not even a cool idea. It's a neat trick. Like, at best, it's a neat trick. But you can't build a game around this.
It if you had a really solid, like you said, like if you had a really solid card game like Yu-Gi-Oh already there. Like, dude, if Nintendo did something like this with Pokemon and there was some fucking AR shit on your TV, people would lose their goddamn minds. As well they should, because it's a cool trick. It would be a fun way to, like, enhance what you were already doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to have to buy this game and then buy another game to play the game that I bought, like, no. I'm out.
I think what a lot of people missed about, I think what Sony missed about this, and anytime somebody tries to do something like this, is one of the appeals of card games is having a deck and going to a place and mm-hmm. playing the games with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not hauling your PlayStation 3 and a TV and a camera to start laying your cards in front of it to watch crazy shit happen on the TV. That's going to get old real fast, and you're going to want to keep playing the game faster than the camera's going to keep up with doing all these silly ass animations. It defeats a lot of the purpose of a physical card game.
This feels like an idea that was probably 10, 15 years ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that is going to be a big deal at some point.
Yeah, but with technology that's handheld and holograms.
Yeah. Not yet.
You can't be tethered to a TV screen and, you know, have to place a camera somewhere. Yeah. So we also got Guitar Hero 3 this year.
A game no one played.
Yeah, no.
There was nothing written or said about any of this shit.
This was the last version that I bought. I didn't mess with Guitar Hero after this because, you know, I got Activision fatigue, you know, just like we were talking about with Tony Hawk. They were cranking these games out year after year after year.
It was such a shame, too.
It was, because Guitar Hero 3 was still fun before it started to get too technical.
It was so fun. And, like, the Guitar Hero, like, we seem to get it every couple of years. There seems to be a game that comes out. Like, Pokemon Go was the most recent example of it. And before that, it was like the Guitar Hero and the Rock Band stuff. We're like,
they were just everywhere.
You remember
everyone
when everybody was
it.
Just having fun?
Yeah, it was
like, it was just fun.
The whole world is having fun pretending they can play guitar.
Yep, it was great. It was great. It was fucking great. Like, it caught a lot of bullshit because of the annualization and just the glut of guitar stuff that came out. Mm-hmm. But these games were fucking fun, man.
They were fun.
They were
and, like,
so
I was
fun.
Such a huge fan of Amplitude, which is what these guys did before they made Guitar Hero. And then once Guitar Hero dropped, it's like, oh my god, it's Amplitude, but I'm holding a plastic guitar. This is fantastic!
This is the best, and Rock Band, and people singing. Like,
so
I was
much
just
fun.
Great. It was just a good time. Like, and then they tried, what, 2 years ago now? Three years ago?
They tried to kind of bring it back. And
not enough
that
time
work.
Had passed.
Yeah, it's not old enough for people to be nostalgic for it yet.
No, I mean, because they did fucking go crazy with it.
They did, and anybody who, like us, were working in video game stores at the time trying to merchandise these things.
Oh, it was awful.
Because no video game store is equipped for this.
No. Like,
we were not equipped to have gigantic boxes like the size of a small person. We weren't equipped for it. And when Guitar Hero 3 came out and we had like 25 pre-orders, so we got 25 copies of this game in plus all the ones that we were going to sell off the shelves. Mm. So we're talking like, here's a shipment of like 40 copies of Guitar Hero in a store. Like, that's actually a legitimate percentage of the real estate in the store. Like, there's just nothing I can do about this.
Yeah, it just wasn't. And then they just went so crazy. But still, Guitar Hero 3 was fun, man.
It was a cool-ass game.
It was
a lot
really
of fun.
The guitars that they came with were cool. Like, the Xbox exclusive fucking Explorer, like the James Hetfield guitar was fucking cool, white one. Yeah. That one was pretty sweet, and I think it was Xbox exclusive. I might be wrong.
That was on Guitar Hero 2, though, I thought.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, Guitar Hero 3 was, I think, the first one that had the removable necks. The white guitar, the Xbox 360 one, that was exclusive to that, but I'm pretty sure that was just the one that came with Guitar Hero 2 on 360, which was like a couple of months before Guitar Hero 3, which was weird. But
yeah, it was. That's also kind of the problem. I don't remember because all of this just kind of blended together after a while.
All right, let's real quick touch on these next three. Battalion Wars 2 came out for Wii. Battalion Wars was a really cool offshoot of Advance Wars. The most noteworthy thing about this is that it was Battalion Wars Wii, so the cover of the game said Bwee on it, and that always makes me laugh. Manhunt 2 inexplicably came out for PS2 and Wii.
And Wii, that's the weird thing.
And even PS2 was kind of a weird thing. They were like, all right, so let's just make it on the old shit and the weird shit. Let's go nuts. And they did, and it was weird, and it didn't sell super well.
No, the first Manhunt is worth playing.
Agreed.
Because it's so weird. It's so violent and so, like, it's insane. And there's actually, like, a pretty decent game in there.
Mm-hmm.
Manhunt 2, not so much.
I didn't hate this game, but I didn't really get it. It's not for me. Like, I didn't love the original one. So yeah. The second one I was stoked for because I was happy that a third party was taking the Wii seriously. And because there was potential for And unfortunately, it just didn't really take off.
Yeah.
It got, you know, average. It's, let's say, average reviews overall. It mm-hmm. seems to have, like, hovered around the mid sevens.
Yeah.
In most places. It's
not a terrible game.
It's
but
hard
nothing.
To say it's a bad game, but it's also not. It didn't live up to a lot of potential. I don't know that it would have been better on another platform. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is such an example of third parties looking at the absolutely insane install base of the Wii and not having any idea how to break into that.
No.
The Wii is such a strange study of, like, video game economics because you look at how many of the third parties really wanted to make stuff for Wii. That wasn't a thing where third parties were just like, nah, screw this system. They wanted to break in because they were like, there's 35 billion of these things all over the place. If we make a game, a percentage of those people have to look at this and say, all right, I'll pick this up.
Right.
Because you look at the success of things like carnival games and be like, all right, what do we do? There's got to be a market here. And just nobody was able to crack it because it's such a weird system. You know, everyone was just playing Wii Sports and then basically gave up on it. It was such a strange system, which is kind of the opposite of what's going on now. And seeing with the Switch, there seems to be an abnormal amount of positive buzz going on about, like, Doom and Wolfenstein and even LA Noire
mm-hmm.
coming out for Switch.
So, I love, like, that game.
It's I'd be really
good game.
Should I play that game?
I don't think you would like it at all.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying Doom day one. I am buying that game. I cannot wait to play that game. And since they announced, I was not interested in Wolfenstein in the least,
mm-hmm.
but then they announced that there's no multiplayer content in it, I'm suddenly interested in that game. Because I just naturally assumed, oh, it's a first-person shooter, so it's going to have, you know, it's going to be a first-person shooter, single-player thing, and it's really going to be all about the multiplayer. But no, there's no multiplayer. They're actually concentrating on making a damn good first-person shooter, single-player experience. I'm pretty interested in that now, so maybe I will give that game a shot.
Yeah, I like something like LA Noire, like, I think you would appreciate it, but I don't think you'd ever finish it.
And that's the thing. Like, a part of me really wants to support it because I want Rockstar to put more things on the Switch. Like, I'm surprised that LA Noire is what they're going with and not going for a port of GTA 5 on it, because GTA 5 still sells. Like, it's still in the NPD charts month after month. Like, that game is almost as evergreen as something like friggin' Minecraft.
Yeah.
So,
which is weird.
It is weird, but it seems like such a natural fit. Like, Skyrim's going to sell on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Because people still buy and play Skyrim. I feel like GTA 5 would be a more safe bet, because I feel like LA Noir is still pretty niche, but I hope that it sells well enough to convince Rockstar to keep putting their properties on the platform, because it does seem like there's an audience for it.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We will find out. So last one before the break, Viva Pinata Party Animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, so we're going to take a break.
I know nothing about that franchise and intend to learn.
This is what Rare did on the Xbox. Apparently Viva Pinata is pretty cool. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Maybe it is for me. I don't know. It just never grabbed me. It never jumped out and said, you should play this.
I can tell you it's not what Rare should have done.
No. Nintendo should have bought Rare.
Yeah.
They had their chance and they didn't. And I get why they didn't. I understand. Rare hadn't done anything great in a while. Most of their talent had moved on. They were working on stuff like Grabbed by the Ghoulies and Cameo. But still, you would have gotten all those intellectual properties that Microsoft has done absolutely nothing with since they bought them.
You did get a Perfect Dark game.
Yeah, we got a Perfect Dark game that was meh. We got the Battletoads in Shovel Knight, which they didn't even do. We got I'll go as far as to say competent Killer Instinct with really hideous character designs.
No, tribal tattoos are cool. They're coming back, Chris.
They're coming back, right.
Coming back.
Makes me sad. Anyway, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to, as quickly as humanly possible, talk about games that came out 20 and 30 years ago. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com, so stick around.
That's all right. We're only 55 minutes in.
And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, we know you love this podcast, but what happens when you need more? Look no further than Budsworthy, Dave DiIorio's recurring article series that discusses other podcasts in the world that may be worth your time. This month, Dave spends some time with an ongoing podcast about folks playing Dungeons & Dragons the way it was meant to be played. Grab your D20 and a couple of friends and check out Budsworthy, the adventure zone located in the think tank.
Then, Geekade's Gabby Robbins may be our resident home automation expert, but she also loves books! Books! This month, she decided to continue her... I don't know what that was about. I just... decided to start shouting books.
Buy my book!
Channeling my inner Dean. This month, she decided to continue her trek down memory lane and reread another classic novel from her younger days. Not that she's all that old to begin with, but that's beside the point. If you want to read an article about someone reading something else, you should absolutely check out Revisiting the Two Princesses of Bamare, located in the think tank. I am great at selling things.
I don't know that there is a more YA title than the Two Princesses of Bamare. Fucking man. I mean, I'm sure it's great, but... Finally, October means a lot of things to a lot of people. But to the beer-loving folk of the world, it means it's time for some Oktoberfest goodness. Our very own imbibing scribe, Hunter Wild, gives his impressions on this year's various Oktoberfest offerings, offered up with a side of Germany-America comparison and a dash of Tom Clancy humor. Be sure to check out The Imbibing Scribe, The Hunt for Good October.
Yeah, Tom Clancy humor.
Yeah.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com.
Right now.
Right now.
Bob Dole.
Hey, it's yours tomorrow.
Right now.
Come on. It's everything. So we're back, in case you hadn't noticed. You'll never know how long we were talking about Right Now by Van Hagar.
Probably too long.
So let's see. We're going to talk about the games that came out in 1997. That's 20 years ago. And the first one on the list was a freaking Super Nintendo game. Because they were still making a couple of those at this point. And that is the magnificent Arkanoid Do It Again. Dan, have you played this game?
Yes, but because I thought it was going to have a Simpsons tie-in. And it didn't. That made me really sad.
I love this guy. I love Arkanoid.
Arkanoid's awesome.
I adore Arkanoid, and this version was great because I would have bought it anyway, but then when I got it home and found out that you could control it with the Super NES mouse, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is wonderful. And it's a really good version of Arkanoid. It did some really interesting stuff with the little bad guys, you know, little bad guys that float around yeah. and your ball would bounce off of them. So like they gave a bunch of those guys different attributes, like the ones that were three balls. If you hit them, they would turn into three different balls and fly all over the screen, breaking bricks, which is awesome. They had ones that would like show up and like eat your ball and then teleport it somewhere else and shoot it all over the screen. Oh my God, this game was amazing. And you could do a two-player co-op mode. It's fucking rad.
Super fun. It's a game that everybody should emulate.
Or buy. Well, perfectly legally.
Where are you going to buy it? Like, that's the fucking, eBay. That's the problem. Like, on your working Super Nintendo that you don't have. Like, there's so much of this shit that, like, you can't buy it on a virtual console. You can't, it wasn't included on the Super Nintendo Classic. Like,
that's true.
Find a way to play Arkanoid Do It Again. It's really fun.
Yeah. Play it on an EverDrive.
Play it on an EverDrive.
StoneAgeGamer.com.
StoneAgeGamer.com. You're welcome, Ryan.
Speaking of the Super Nintendo and Genesis, we also got NHL 98 for the Genesis and Super NES because they were still cranking out EA Sports games.
And that game was still fucking dope. It's not NHL 94, which is the pinnacle of NHL games, but it was still super fun.
Still pretty darn good.
Up and down hockey. Like, it. What more do you need?
I don't know. Doritos.
Certainly not this next game.
Certainly not Duke Nukem 64.
Nobody needed that.
I've never cared for Duke Nukem, but a lot of people did.
It's not funny.
So they made a port of it for a Nintendo 64. They very cleverly called it Duke Nukem 64. It was Duke Nukem 3D for N64. Yeah. It sold fairly well.
Duke Nukem is a game that is made for people that like Dumb and Dumberer. Yep.
Damn.
That's a cross section. That is a cross section that I guarantee you is fucking full up. It's a bunch of horse shit. Duke Nukem's never been good. It's never been funny. Stop it.
Speaking of games that have never been funny, Clock Tower for PlayStation.
Clock Tower's Probably fucking
wasn't
dope,
really
though.
Shooting for comedy, to be honest.
No.
So.
They really missed the mark. They were like, I don't understand why everybody's so scared. We thought it was funny. He had novelty scissors. He's like fucking Turd Ferguson. It's bigger than a regular hat. These are bigger than regular scissors. They call me Scissor Man. Ha!
Like, murder's funny, right?
I don't know why nobody's laughing. Look, that girl, she's hiding in a clock. Meh. Clock Tower is awesome.
I've never played it.
It's not scary because the graphics were not good enough to be scary. Like, they just weren't. But, like, the idea of this fucking little man with giant scissors just trying to hack you to pieces, it was fucking dope. And it was a fun little thing to, like to find, like, all the hiding spots and whatnot. There's a lot of really cool parts to this game. I like Clock Tower. They did make a sequel to it, right? That wasn't any good?
I think so.
I think I
remember. I always get this mixed up with Tecmo's Deception for some reason.
Mm, very different.
Very different animal, but it's like the same kind of thing. Like, it's this obscure quasi-horror game for PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not seeing a list of sequels for... Mm. Oh, this is because this is just a thing about Clock Towers, not the actual video games. Yeah, there were there was three.
Really?
Clock Tower 3. Yeah, let's see. Shit. Clock Tower 2, The Struggle Within, and then Clock Tower 3, you don't get a subtitle.
Clock Tower 3, The Clock Towering.
Clock Tower Harder.
Clock Tower with a Vengeance. So good.
Live free or Clock Tower.
You better go up there to race little man with giant scissors and type in live free or Clock Tower. Because that's fucking funny.
Oh, God. Oh, so speaking of oh, God, the next game on our list is one of the flamiest flaming piles of shit I've ever played in my life. What a great idea that went far south. Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero.
God, these should have been so fucking cool.
So here's a great idea. Let's take the mythology of Mortal Kombat, which is admittedly way cooler than it should be, and make a bunch of action games out of these characters. And let's start with Sub-Zero, because he's the fucking best next to Scorpion. And it's so awful.
It's so awful.
It's hard to wrap your head around the idea that they made a side-scrolling platform action game where you have to press a button to turn around.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, how?
They didn't. There's nothing went right with this game. I can't even. And just like every Mortal Kombat game that went bad, you can't even say that they spelled the word combat correctly. Like, there's nothing that is right about this. Even Superman 64, they spelled Superman right.
They did. They did it that. It's just the weirdest. Like, because Midway is not a shitty game company. They've made some really good stuff. And they're not. It wasn't their first day.
Yeah, this wasn't a new franchise. There were a handful of really good Mortal Kombat games under their belt at this point. This was a great idea. I don't know how it went this far south. I mean, I just don't.
Why do you hit a button to turn around?
Why is it not fun?
Who thought that was a good idea?
Why doesn't it have a good, enjoyable combat system? Why is Quan Chi a thing?
Because Quan Chi rips off your leg and beats you with it, which is
yes, he does. Awesome. In Mortal Kombat 4. But he, as a character, is pretty stupid looking. He looks like a cross between the Crow and Sting from WCW. Yeah, yeah. You like that? Oh, I made a wrestling reference.
Look at you, son of a bitch. I'm gonna mark this day down. Like, all they had to do was remake Ninja Gaiden.
Pretty much.
Just remake
or
that.
Or Double Dragon, or either something. Either
way, it would have been great.
Yeah, there were so many ways that this could have went well. It was so easy to do this right.
The bullshit, nonsense, Tekken 3, I think. It might have been 4. I don't remember exactly at this point.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Was it Tekken Force or whatever it was called?
That was included with Tekken. Like, it wasn't even a separate game. Like, they just threw the shit on a disc.
Here's a bonus mode better than Mortal Kombat Mythology
Sub-Zero. Better than Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero. Way better.
What a steaming pile of garbage.
Oh, I don't know that I've ever been, I feel like I say this a lot now on our show, but I don't know that I've ever been more disappointed in something that should have been so great, but was just.
This definitely is up there in that department.
Oh, my God.
We also got the unbelievably amazing Castlevania Symphony of the Night in October of 1997.
Mm. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's a giant piece of shit.
One of the worst games I've ever played.
One of the worst. No,
I don't know if you know this. Alucard spelled backwards is Dracula.
Get the fuck out of here. Dude, I'm not even going to lie. All right, I'm going to put this out there because I feel like I need to be honest with our listeners. My whole life, I had never gotten the joke of the Simpsons teacher's name, Mrs. Krabapple.
Mm-hmm.
It's Crabapple.
Mm-hmm.
I had never gotten. I don't know that I've ever seen it written down. In all the love that I have for the Simpsons, I don't know that I've ever, like, Tiff said that to me the other day, and I was like, get the fuck out of here. No way. Son of a bitch. Right over my head all these years. Just like Dracula being Alucard. I had no idea. Alucard is Dracula. No shit. Son of a bitch. Who knew?
Dracula's terrible at naming children. Name my son Serko Zadnor.
Oh, goodness. No, we've done a whole fucking slew of shit about Castlevania. Moving on.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about this game, even on this very podcast. So we're going to move on because it's getting late and we're old and tired.
That's right. And God, I've already so had more games one to talk Heady about. Topper this season. I fucking drank a Heady Topper on the show. That makes me so excited. Those of you who are into beer, know how special it is to be drinking Heady Topper. I still have six more in my fridge, and I'm really happy about it. Because I don't live in Vermont.
Did you get a 7-pack? Is that a thing?
No, I got 2 4-packs. I've already had 2. But I don't live in Vermont, yet I still have Heady Topper here in New Jersey. That makes me really happy.
Anyway. Technology is a beautiful thing.
It really is.
So Bloody Roar came out for PlayStation.
I fucking love Bloody Roar.
Bloody Roar is awesome.
It's so cool.
The title of the game always made me feel a little uneasy.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's just like, somebody's vomiting blood. Mm. Okay. Oh, never mind. It's animals beating the crap out of each other. But yeah, Bloody Roar is cool, man.
I could go for a new Bloody Roar.
I could too. This is the same. I don't know where this team is, but if I remember correctly, the people who made the Bloody Roar series are the ones that eventually moved on to the GameCube Naruto games, which were really good.
Those were good.
I didn't even realize that Naruto was an existing property when I played the first one, because it wasn't even the first one, it was the fourth one or the third one that somebody imported from Japan and brought into my store, mm-hmm. and we were playing it. Like, we were all hooked on that game, because it was a damn good fighting game. And then I found out it was actually an anime and all these characters existed in a show. And I was like, oh, okay, so I'll watch it. And I watched it, and it was fun.
Is it good?
Best story I've ever
watched it.
I don't know that it's good. It's good in the way that Dragon Ball is good. You know, it's a Shonen Jump type of thing. It's got a really cool, a bunch of really cool ideas, and then they tell the story really slowly.
All right, fair enough.
But when shit happens, it happens cool. Bloody Roar is awesome.
I love Bloody Roar. It's such a cool... Such a cool thing, and like it kind of died with what was it, Bloody Roar 4, 3, 4, something like that.
I think
was the last
4
one.
Was the one that the last one
that wasn't great. They also worked on I'm looking at it now, they also worked on Castlevania Judgment. So,
Castlevania Judgment is like this game with a rocking soundtrack and an almost competent fighting engine. And just the worst character designs you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, they're bad. They did work on Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So that's the thing.
Yeah, that wasn't a terrible game.
No, I like that one.
I dug that one.
Bloody Roar was cool. The characters were cool. It was different. I mean, this was like fighting games were just fucking everywhere. I mean, like just everything.
Yeah, they were
was
releasing
fighting
a
games.
Lot of fighting games in this era.
It was just ridiculous. But there was a lot of really cool shit with Bloody Roar, and the characters were really cool, and like the big evolutions that they would go through were super cool. Like, it was just a badass game. The fighting system was fun. I like this game a lot. And you could be a badass rabbit and fuck people up. That's fun.
It's never a bad thing.
No, never a bad thing.
You cannot be a badass rabbit in Cool Borders 2.
But you don't need to be, because Cool Borders was so fun.
I'll take your word for it. I've never played them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Cool Borders was a good time. I spent a good portion of the fucking winter that this came out sitting in my friend Crispy's house playing Cool Borders 2 and listening to the Deftones second record, Around the Fur. Fucking just... hours and hours of our life playing this, and it's, dude, Cool Borders was great. It was like SSX before that was a thing. It was just a fun, ridiculous snowboarding game, and you could do cool tricks, and like we all thought it looked amazing at the time, like, oh my god, you could see the fucking mountain, it's so great. But like you go back and look at it now and you're just, ugh, not so much. But like, did you play Jet Moto?
Maybe for like 5 minutes.
Okay. Same kind of thing. Like that level of fun.
Jet Moto 2 also came out at this time.
Did it? Son of a bitch. I wasn't even looking at the list. Jet Moto 2, also really great. Really, really fun.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Fighting Force. What'd you think about this game? I don't remember it at all. Like, I remember the cover, and I don't know if I've ever actually played it.
I remember being disappointed that it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. Like, I wanted it to be Final Fight, but... it was just so ugly. So ugly.
Yeah, I feel like a couple of people tried to do good beat-em-ups back then, and nobody succeeded.
No, because they were ugly. Like, one of the things that I think really worked with the like Final Fights and whatnot, and Knights of the Round, and you know, Captain Commando, and all of those beat-em-ups, fucking Alien versus Predator and shit, is that they all looked really great. They looked like these really fun cartoons that you were controlling, and... You know, then you go to play like Fighting Force, and Fighting Force always felt kind of like a spiritual successor to like Streets of Rage. But the character design sucks. And the graphics are like, it looks horrendous. Even for the time when, like, we knew shit was like, this really isn't that good. Fighting Force still looked fucking terrible. It's just...
Agreed.
Ugh. It's not... And it's not Streets of Rage, which is a problem.
Yeah, because Streets of Rage, like, it just had character. And this just didn't.
And, like... Beat 'em ups don't really work in 3D. You know, like they made a beat 'em up game like in 3D without changing, like it still played like a 2D beat 'em up. Mm-hmm. It was weird. It should have been way better. There's definitely the potential for it now for these things to be good, but
not Fighting Force, cuz you just got to make it interesting, and there's nothing interesting about these characters.
No,
so.
They're very bland. Like it just No.
Not your finest work, Eidos.
No, certainly not. They've done much better, both before and since.
Indeed. Parappa the Rapper came out.
Also a terrible piece of shit.
I tried playing this the other day, and I was very sad because it didn't really work. I was playing it on my PS3 that's backwards compatible with PS1 games. Mm-hmm. But the button lag on my TV was so bad that it didn't function. Like, I couldn't even beat the Master Onion stage.
That sucks.
And I was playing it for John. I was like, oh, John, you're going to love this game. So we're playing it, and he just got bored because I kept losing. I was like, I can't play this. Damn it.
It's really good. I love Parappa.
It's an awesome
it's
game.
So charming. The remake that they did last year, really worth it. The PS4, like, really, really worth it. It looks gorgeous. It plays perfectly. The songs are great.
That's
so much better.
The songs are great.
So much better than Jammer Lammy. Mm-hmm. Everybody can fuck off with Lammy. He sucks.
She,
whatever. That's how much I don't even care.
Oh, boy, speaking of suck, Star Wars Masters of Taras Kassi. Thumbs down.
How did they fuck this up? All you had to do was, fuck, when this came out, it probably wasn't even Soul Calibur. All you had to do was make Soul Edge. With lightsabers.
With lightsabers.
That's
no.
it. That's what you had to
all
do.
You gotta do. All you got to do is look at this game and watch somebody jump and be like, oh yeah, this is a piece of shit.
It's the worst.
This game is awful. This game is just trash.
It's as bad as Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero for different reasons, but it's a fighting game where somebody has a gun. You could just sit on the other side of the screen and shoot people.
It's dumb. It's very dumb. Dan, talk to me about Tomb Raider 2 for PlayStation.
I'm not over Masters of Taras Kassi yet. Or Cassie or whatever the fuck. Tomb Raider 2 is awesome. Tomb Raider 2 is fun. It took everything that was ridiculous about the first Tomb Raider and like somehow made it bigger and more ridiculous, which is impressive.
Including Lara Croft's bust size.
They really did. I don't know, was this the one where they added, or could you do it in the first one, the slow motion walkover, like when you were jumping up a ledge?
Oh, I don't even know.
I was so silly.
Don't even know. I'm so unfamiliar with the original Tomb Raider games. It's ridiculous.
The thing about the original Tomb Raider games is that for all the boobs things that were present in these games at the time, they're still really fun games. Like, there were good puzzles, and they controlled really well. And they were just kind of like, you know, in the first one, you shoot a fucking dinosaur like with your handgun. Like, it's ridiculous. The second one was just kind of more of the same. You know, this was the first three on PlayStation were fun games. And then they started to come off the rails a bit until they got back to the reboots. But this one's good. I mean, like, it's just Tomb Raider. There's nothing particularly special about this one. Jesus, not even that I can remember at this point, but it's fucking fun. It's worth it to go back and play, I think. It does also look really ugly, though.
Yeah, I think that was one of the reasons I could never get into these games, is because of how goddamn ugly everything is.
Yeah, I mean...
But, you know, that's this generation of gaming.
Everything's brown and weirdly proportioned. Jagged. Yeah.
Boy, speaking of jagged, huh? Last Bronx for Sega Saturn.
I have no idea what that is.
It's another fighting game. It's pretty good. Yeah. Moving on to another fighting game. Look, Last Bronx came out on Saturn. It was a Saturn exclusive.
It's a cool
fighting game. Nobody cared in America. I think it did well in Japan. You know, it's worth tracking down. If you're a Saturn collector, it's a neat game. It's a fun fighting game.
Oh, God, I forgot. I'm looking at it now because I felt like I was forgetting something. Tomb Raider 2 was Wetsuit Lara. That was the big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the wetsuit and the bomber jacket.
Let's see. Clay Fighter 63 and a third came out. That was a real clever title, guys.
I like the Clay Fighter.
Because everything was 64.
Yeah.
This is 63 and a third.
I like the Clay Fighter games. They were fun.
Yeah, I dug the first one. I didn't really mess with the second one much. And like Clay Fighter 63 and the third. No, or is that Clay Fighter? Which is the one that has the Sculptor's Cut? No, it is 63 and a third. Clay Fighter Sculptor's Cut is like one of the rarest N64 games, worth a crap ton of money.
Is that the one that was like the Blockbuster?
I think so.
Exclusive,
yeah.
I think it was thing.
A Blockbuster exclusive.
Yeah, which is even better than a Walmart exclusive. To be exclusive to a video rental store.
Yeah, because not only can you not buy it anywhere else, but the one you're buying has been rented a bunch of times and has stickers on it.
So stupid. They were.
Yeah,
fun.
I don't know. They were kind of fun. Didn't this one have like Boogerman and Earthworm Jim in it?
Oh, maybe. God.
I don't remember. I don't think I spent any real time with this game.
Again, we've talked about the research that I don't do.
Yeah, true.
I do active research as we're talking about things, which is why
finally
I'm
in 1997.
See, shit, I'm looking it up now.
The last game that we have listed for 1997 is Donkey Kong Land 3 for Game Boy, which I do not care for any more than I cared for Donkey Kong Country 3 for Super Nintendo. There are people out there who swear that that's like the best one. I do not. I didn't like it. And I think it's because I think Kitty Kong is one of the laziest, crappiest character designs in the history of mankind.
I've never played this one.
Country 3 has at least an interesting map screen. I don't really. God, Land 3. I know I played it at least a little bit in hopes that it would be something interesting, because like the first Donkey Kong Land is super interesting because it's really original, and it's the point of the game is that it's a Game Boy game. So it's right. Like part of the challenge is built into the story of the game that you're playing Donkey Kong Country on a fucking Game Boy. And then you have Donkey Kong Land 2, which just kind of became, well, here's your portable port of Donkey Kong Country 2. And I think they followed suit with Land 3, but... Meh. This game does not warrant any more of our time. So let's head back to September of 1987, because we talked about October of 1987 last month. 30 years ago, 30 years plus a month, we got 3D World Runner for NES. This game is notable for not being Space Harrier, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I was always really interested in this game because of... the cover. I always thought it looked really cool. But then every time I would play it, that was really pretty much the thought I had of like, oh, this isn't Space Harrier.
Yeah, just, nah.
This isn't as good.
Nah. Yeah.
I mean, and what a weird, like, is the main character the World Runner?
I believe that is the case, yes.
Because, like, when you boot up the game, it says the 3D adventures of World Runner.
Yeah, I think World Runner was the dude.
Like,
and I can't imagine why Square didn't continue making these games.
Me neither.
World Runner, what a great name for a character.
Piece of shit.
This one's interesting because they were still releasing Atari 2600 games at this point, and Epix released Winter Games for the Atari 2600.
Is it good?
Well, I don't actually know. I don't know Winter Games for 2600. I had Winter Games on my original Macintosh, my black and white Mac computer.
I think I had this on the Nintendo, I think.
It's that's entirely possible. I have it on Nintendo 2. I don't think I've ever actually booted it up. I loved it on my Mac, and I loved California Games for 2600.
California Games is so good.
I have watched a video of Winter Games on 2600, and you know it does as well as this kind of game can do on the 2600. It was
which
visually
is to say
impressive.
Not well,
not extraordinarily well, but it looked pretty good for the console. Epic's made some really cool looking games on that platform. Like regardless of how well they do or don't play, they always manage to make them look pretty cool. Oh, let's see. Next up, we got Double Dwibble.
Double Dwibble.
Double Dwibble.
Yo.
Double Dribble is a basketball game for the Nintendo Entertainment System from Konami, who it was also an arcade game, much like Blades of Steel,
so
which we
good.
Talked about.
So yeah,
good. It's awesome. It's a very fun game.
Double Dribble has, it really is responsible for my warped perception of like what basketball was.
Yeah,
you know, like
more so than I think NBA Jam was really my warped perception of what basketball is or should be.
No, that's actually what it is. If you watch
when I
it
started
now.
Watching actual basketball after I fell in love with NBA Jam, I was a friend of mine James was really into basketball, and I'm watching it, and nobody's throwing flaming basketballs around. I'm like, well, I'm out.
Right, and Bill Clinton wasn't there.
Seriously, I couldn't. Bill Clinton was not jumping 45 feet through the air to slam dunk a flaming basketball, so the NBA can go ahead and kiss my ass.
My lily white ass.
Emphasis on the white. I am a pale motherfucker.
You really are. You need some sun. You're probably vitamin D deficient at best.
I don't need a sun. I have one of those.
No,
he's very loud.
He is loud.
Let's see. Next up on the list, we've got Raid on Bungling Bay.
Never played it.
Oh, it's a pretty cool helicopter game.
Is it? I hated the name. I always thought it was stupid, so I avoided it.
Oh, it's a
it.
Terrible name, and this game is noteworthy because it is the reason SimCity exists.
No, that's...
This is the game Will Wright was making when he decided that making the maps for the game was more fun than actually making the game, so he made a game about making the maps.
That's awesome.
But it's a pretty decent, it's a vertical scrolling helicopter shooty game. I think it's vertical scrolling. God, it's been a long time since I played it. It's got a really cool cover. The NES game is a really wacky looking cover, but it's a cool game. I recommend tracking it down and giving it a try.
All right, then.
Next, we have Ring King for NES, which is a great boxing game that has a Richard Simmons lookalike give you a blowjob between rounds,
which is pretty awesome. I fucking loved Ring King.
I never messed with it. Honestly.
I really, really, really liked this game.
None of my rental stores had it, and I never wanted to buy it because, like, it was one of those times where, like, I only buy the games that I know that I need to have,
right?
Because I was still a little kid. But none of my rental stores had this. But I had it on one of those Data East posters I got with my copy of Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, I got to try this game because I love boxing video games. They're super fun.
Yeah, I loved this game. I thought it was a really good boxing game. It's really weird because your characters are so small and the ring is so big. Like there's a lot of real estate to cover there. It was definitely more of a boxing game than Punch Out ever was. Whereas Punch Out is just much more of a puzzle game. There was some more boxing strategy involved in this game, but I really, really liked it.
Okay, our last two games we're gonna talk about are games that I love a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So first up, we have Spelunker for NES.
Mm.
This was also a Broderbund joint, like Raid on Bungling Bay. Spelunker is freaking awesome. It is a very simple game. I think we talked last week about how I wouldn't pay $30 for this new Spelunker on Switch.
Right.
And I still won't, but because it's not a super deep experience, no pun intended, because
right.
It's about spelunking.
Ah, so funny.
But yeah, Spelunker for NES is great. It's relatively short. It's super challenging until you like learn it backwards and forwards, and it's just like pattern memorization at that point. But it also has one of the catchiest tunes in the history of mankind. What a great song this game has.
I really enjoyed this game.
What's not to enjoy? It's kind of cute. You shoot a gun at a ghost and it disintegrates for some reason.
No, that's actually how that works.
That is how that works.
Yeah.
Bats crap on your head.
Mm-hmm.
This game's weird.
It's like a but like it's super my average fun. Tuesday night.
Mm. This was a game that I definitely rented more than once. It was a long time before I owned my own copy because my sister and I used to rent the crap out of this game because we loved the music so damn much.
Well, and the main character was cool and it was fun and like it felt
it was challenging,
like,
but yeah. You could like you always felt like you were progressing, you know, finding the keys and figuring out how to get from point A to point B without the dying from the oversensitive controls of jumping off of a rope or a ladder.
Yeah.
So if you fell more than 3 feet, you were dead.
Challenging but fun still.
Yeah.
You know, unlike
Mortal Kombat Mythologies.
Like Mortal Kombat Mythologies. Yeah.
What a piece of shit. And the last game we're going to talk about is Stinger for NES. I love this game. This was something I played at my friend Joey's house. He had it, and I fell in love with it. It's part of the Twin Bee series, which never really caught on here in America.
No,
but it's a,
unfortunately.
It's a scrolling shooter, and I say scrolling because it's awesome in the way that it changes back and forth from level to level. There's vertical scrolling stages and horizontal scrolling stages.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like different attributes. Like the horizontal or the vertical scrolling stages, you have these bombs that you can drop on the ground. And the horizontal stages, the weapons act a little bit differently. The Famicom version actually has a three-player mode. This was always a mystery to me because on the cover of the game, there's three ships, and in the game, you can only be two. And then, like, a couple of years ago when I did the Waveback episode on Stinger because the music is also fantastic, I was researching the game, and I saw that the Famicom version had a three-player mode. It's like, oh, shit, look at that. That's nuts.
We could have used the multi-tap.
And I would have loved that. I would have loved to be able to plug in my NES 4 score or satellite and play some three-player Stinger. Because this game's so freaking good. It's not the hardest shooter you'll ever play. It's like it's got just the right level of difficulty in it. Like kind of like how UN Squadron is. You know, UN Squadron isn't the hardest game you'll ever play in your life. It is ever so slightly forgiving, like a lot of scrolling shooters aren't. In the way that you can take multiple hits. Stinger is like, it's a little bit lighter than the usual screw you fare that scrolling shooters is. It's bright and colorful. You fight weird ass enemies. Like the first boss is a giant watermelon and there's
hangers
flying at you. Like,
so weird.
But in the best possible way. Stinger's great. It's just great.
It has one of the best of the old school gray or silver Konami covers.
Oh yeah, it's got a wonderful cover art. I love Konami. This era, man, this era of Konami was so damn good. If you go all the way back and listen to our Capcom versus Konami battle that we had like way back years ago, early on in the Stone Age Gamer, like we gushed about some Konami properties back then because they did some damn good stuff.
They really did, and Stinger's one of them. I mean, it's so odd. It's just such an odd game, but like. It was odd at a time because, like, think about this. In 1987, the NES had been out in the U.S. for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when this game came out. So, I mean, you're looking at... We didn't know shit about video games, those of us who were little kids around that time. So this was just normal. You know, this was just what video games were. Weird... things, and we didn't question it or think about it. It was just fun and charming, and Stinger's fucking great. I love Stinger.
It is absolutely great. It was this actually did come out on the Japanese virtual console, and it hit the Wii U virtual console. That's right, I forgot about that. This came out on the Wii virtual console in 2015, and I remember specifically being excited and not excited at the same time because I was happy that this game was finally on Virtual Console and I was going to download it, but all NES games on Wii U Virtual Console are freaking terrible.
Which is like, weird.
It is so weird because the Wii Virtual Console for NES games is amazing. The games look and play phenomenally, but for the Wii U, like if you switch to Wii mode, you can still play those games, but only the ones that were available in the Wii shop. And the ones that were native to the Wii U, the NES games all look really faded and dark and out of focus and have really bad button lag. You can watch comparison videos. Back when the last year when the NES Classic Edition came out, mm-hmm. there were a lot of comparison videos on YouTube of like, oh, this is what it looks like on Wii Virtual Console versus Wii U versus the original hardware versus the NES Classic. And you look at the Wii U games and you're like, what the hell happened here? Like, this is really sad. Like, the games just look sad and dark and ugly. And that's a shame. That's something you can't do to Stinger.
No.
Because it's all about bright and colorful stuff and shooting bells. That's the other cool thing about this game. You did the power-up system by shooting clouds, and these bells would come out of them. And you'd shoot the bells a bunch of times, and they'd change colors, and that's how you got power-ups. God, this game is cool.
Yay.
All right. Twin Yay, D. We did it. We did it, and it's only 10:15. God damn it.
It's not bad for the amount of bullshitting we did.
That's true. The amount of bullshitting we did and the number of games we covered, I think we did a pretty solid job. Let's pat ourselves on the back here. And you two listeners, you did a great job.
Come pat us on the back.
Come pat us on the back.
Actually, if you see us in public, don't fucking touch us. That's weird.
Touch Dan. He loves it.
I really don't. I got to be honest. It's not a thing I'm into. Like, just random strangers being like, hey, can I hug you? I'm like, no.
Can I stroke your beard, please?
Yeah, don't fucking do that.
Does that come up?
It does, and I don't care for it. It's very odd.
All right, everyone, that's our show. Join us next week for the first part of our four-part Super Mario retrospective series. Like, we've been doing the retrospective series before. We're finally going to hit up Super Mario with Super Mario Odyssey about to take over my life and not Dan's.
No.
There's no better time to look back on where the plumber has been before. I don't care what Nintendo says, he will always be a plumber to me.
Yeah, this is going to be a few weeks of me being shitty. I'm really looking forward to it.
I am too. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm @GeekadeChris, that's Geekade KRIS, and Dan is @GeekadeDan. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful shows on podcast or Stitcher, because I'm tired and clearly I can't read.
You've been doing so well, like the last month and a half. Fucking nailed it. I can't wait till you say Intrepid Editor Evan. It's going to be great.
I'm on it. So podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan.
Oh, nailed it.
Take it. Take that, Dan. Our intrepid editor, Yvonne. Damn it. For making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp or his website, which we will have a link to again in the show notes. Once again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for more fresh original content coming at you all the time. That's it for us. That's it for me. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.